Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everyone back out. Brother Code, it's good to see you out. You're the one that always says whenever somebody isn't here, we miss you. We definitely miss you when you're not here. We miss everybody. It's good to see Pat back with us. Chelsea, it's good to see everyone out tonight. We are continuing with our series on learning important verses in the Bible. As I've said, I'll keep the handouts for the evening on the table in the back. Tonight we'll be looking at number 19 through 28 of the verses. We're covering these by sections, by topics. We looked at the four corners of God's Word. We looked at the Roman road to salvation. We looked up laying up His words in our heart, why we need to do this. And it's good to come and listen to somebody read God's Word, but we've got to understand the reason God wants us to understand it is to do it. It's not for entertainment. It's not a way to pass our time. God wants us to learn His Word so we can do it. And there's great strength in learning His Word. Someone was saying that they didn't want me to think that they weren't trying to memorize them. And I said, I think if you don't be concerned about memorizing all of these verses, but learn where they are, go over them in your heart. And remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness, how did He overcome that temptation? It was by Scripture. And just think, there may be some sin that we are faced with that we might lose our soul because we don't know the Scripture that will protect us from that temptation. So it's important to learn these, and they'll be of great benefit to us. We looked at the Word of God, some verses with that. Last week, we looked at prayer. Three verses regarding prayer. And this evening we're going to look at inner peace and security. And it's interesting. I was going to ask David to lead a song, and I got to him too late. But where he started on the songs tonight, if you go back a couple pages, this book has topics where songs are grouped by topics. And there's a big topical section on assurance, Christian assurance. That's one of the things we're talking about tonight. Inner peace and security, assurance. If not right now, but if you look in the back of your songbooks, there's going to be a section of songs on peace, songs that will help us have peace. And that's what we're going to look at with these scriptures. With the scriptures tonight also, it looks like there's a lot of scriptures, but just think of them in these three groups. Those in 1 John, those in the Gospel of John, and those in Isaiah. And hopefully we will learn some things to help us get through today, tomorrow, the day after tomorrow. And as I said this morning, some of this will overlap with what we talked about this morning. So, inner peace and security. The first verse, if you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5 and 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So notice the certainty of this, the assurance of this. There is no maybe. There is no if, there is no might, there is no hope so. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. This is the testimony. This is what God Himself has declared as truth. This is the record. These are the facts. He has. It's already done. He has given us. This us is not just a generic promise. He has given us eternal life. That pronoun us, that includes you and that includes me. We are very blessed. If we had lived before the cross, we would not have eternal life because we are Gentiles. But he has given us eternal life. The whole Bible teaches that God is eternal and he bestows his blessings on his children. But it's John who is the apostle of eternal life. And he uses this phrase around 23 times in his writing. And it's a paradox also that Jesus had to die to give us life. But just to consider a few of the verses that John mentions on eternal life, John 3:16, everyone who believes on him will not perish, but will have eternal life. John 3:36, the one who believes in the Son has eternal life. Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. John 5:24. I assure you, anyone who believes has eternal life. John 6:47. I could go on and on and on. John says we have eternal life. Now let me ask you this. If I said, are you sure if you died tonight you're going to heaven? How would you answer? Would you say, I hope so, maybe, I might? Or would you say, no, I have the assurance that God has given me eternal life? Can we be confident? Can we be confident in what God has given to us? Again, our hope is not hung on, I guess so, I imagine I might go to heaven. Our salvation is promised by God when we are obedient to him. God cannot lie. When we obey him, he is going to give us what he promised. Again, God rewards the righteous and he punishes the unrighteous. The second verse, 1 John 5:12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So here we see that God does give us life, but it's conditional. This is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So we have the assurance of eternal life. It's a sure thing. We have it if we have his Son. If we are in Christ, it's a sure thing. But if we are outside of his Son, if we are outside of Christ, it is a sure thing that we do not have eternal life. And what do we have instead of eternal life? We have eternal destruction. Eternal destruction. Our eternal future depends on whether we have Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. There are several great assurance verses in the Bible. And I just mentioned these to help us understand this concept. Romans 8, 38 and 39. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's going to separate us from God? What's going to separate us from our salvation? Nothing can do that unless we allow it to. Nothing can unless we allow it to. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to guard what has been entrusted to him until that day. When we give ourselves to Christ, when we are obedient to his word, when we repent of our sins, when we confess him as Lord or Savior, when we're buried in baptism with us, he's not going to leave us on our own to fend. He is going to guard us. He is going to guard us. And in John 10, 28, and 29, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Again, God promises us He gives us assurance he's going to do his part, but don't forget we have to do our part. It's not unconditional. John 5, 11 and 12 talks about the assurance of salvation. If you drop on down to John 5, 14 and 15, it's about the assurance of answered prayer. There are so many verses in the Bible that just assure us. You know, when God says something, we can count on it. But just verse after verse gives us assurance that it is true, that there is a certainty about things. And we don't need to go through life wishy-washy, wondering back and forth, is God going to do this? Is he not going to do it? Is he going to do it today? Is he not going to do it tomorrow? Am I saved? Am I lost? We can be assured, we can know for certain, we can have peace and security that when we follow God's word, he is going to keep his word. Well, let's turn back to John 14. And we touched on this morning when we were talking about joy. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And this is a very reassuring verse. And to feel the impact of this, we've got to read the previous chapter again, where it was where they were eating the Passover meal. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. He told them the things that were going to take place. He told them that he was going to be leaving them. And Peter said, "Where are you going?" And Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow me, but you'll follow me later." And Peter, you know, you can just see him talking back. "Well, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you." And what did Jesus tell him? He said, "A rooster's going to crow three times, a rooster's going to crow until you have denied me three times. You're going to deny me three times, and a rooster's going to crow." Peter was so sure that he would follow Christ, but he was not going to have the faith to do that. And there may have been a pause in this conversation, and when you read a chapter at a time, you lose some of the meaning of the whole context, but there is probably a pause in the conversation. And when you get to John chapter 14, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This, as I mentioned this morning, was one of the most troubling times in the life of the disciples with Christ, right before his crucifixion. And what does he tell them? He says, "I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave." In John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." There's I've heard discussion back and forth. Some versions use the word mansion. Some use the word dwelling place. Some people argue over one over the other. The words that describe heaven are words to help our minds understand what it's going to be like. It's got a lot of figurative language. Whether you take it as a mansion, and you stop and think, when we say mansion, we have a picture in our mind, like some place out in Bel Air or some place with these huge mansions. A mansion to them would have been completely different. but it's a dwelling place. You think of the greatest house that you can think of here, and it's just going to be like a shack, not even a shack in heaven. The grandeur of what Jesus is preparing for us is unimaginable. Someone has said, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me over there. We get hung up on arguing what our house is going to be like in heaven, and we worry about what kind of house we're living in here, and we miss the big point. Doesn't matter what we're living in here. Doesn't matter if we live in a tent, if we don't even have a tent to live in. If we're faithful to God, He has gone to prepare a place for us. And that should give us great peace and great security. 14:3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Do you think that the disciples would have worried when Jesus said that He was leaving? I think it would only be natural. There would be so many things that they did not understand. Is it possible for a Christian to live a worry-free life? I think there are things that are going to pop up from day to day that we are going to worry about them. We're going to be anxious about them. And if that wasn't true, why would Jesus back in the Sermon on the Mount say 5 or 6 times, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry, do not worry? Because it's a part of our everyday life. But He is giving them this assurance so that we can have peace. We might worry, but we should not be consumed by worry. We should not let worry take over. And you know, we start off having this much peace and this much worry, and by the time we finish, we have this much worry and this much peace. We've got to learn how to control it. And these peace and security and assurance verses can help us with that. We shouldn't give in to a troubled heart. We may panic. We may be anxious, we may be upset at times, but we don't want to live there. When we start feeling that way, we need to get out of that. I may not be able to avoid being frightened on an occasion, but I can avoid remaining there and abiding in such a condition. And that's true with a lot of emotional states. We're going to experience them from time to time. That doesn't mean we have to live there. We can get out of that. It's an obligation of a Christian to fight off sin and these emotional sins. And how do we do that? One of the ways that will arm us to do that is by these scriptures. These scriptures, just like Satan tempted Jesus, and He responded with scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. When Satan comes at us and tempts us, we need to be able to respond to him with scripture. Whether it's the sin of drunkenness or profanity or lust or idolatry or whatever it is. And as I keep saying, there's 31,000 verses in the Bible. We've got 31,000 ways of defeating Satan. And how many do we have up here? And when he comes after us, a lot of us are unarmed. We aren't armed to do battle with Satan. And when you look at these verses here in John 14, notice in verse 1, the peace that Jesus provides. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice the place that Jesus prepares. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And notice the path that Jesus prescribes. In verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How do we go to heaven? How do we go to that mansion? We go through Jesus. This second coming of Christ, this return of Christ, should give us great peace if we are in Christ, if we have Christ. With John 14:6 again, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you compare John 14:6 and Acts 4:12, which says there is salvation, there is no salvation in any other name, no other name under heaven is given among us by which we are to be saved. When we want to go on that way to heaven, Jesus is the only highway leading us to God. He's the source, the giver of eternal life, the only way of salvation. Someone has said, without the way, there is no going. You stop and think about that. If Jesus is the way, there's the going. Without the way, we can't get there. Without the truth, there is no knowing. And Jesus is the truth. If he hadn't revealed himself, we wouldn't know that heaven exists. And without life, there is no living. 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you stop and think about these verses, when we're troubled, these verses in John 14, if we learn them, if we memorize them, if we have them in our mind, when we are troubled, you know, a lot of people go back to Psalm 23, and there's nothing wrong with that. But there are so many passages that if we can just picture Jesus saying this to us, this will give us great peace. And you drop down to 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is one of the Bible's greatest verses about inner peace, spoken by our brother Jesus Christ. Have you had any relatives leave you anything? Did your father leave you anything? Did he say, son, daughter, I want you to have this? Did your mother leave you anything? Son, daughter, I really, when I leave, I want you to have this. Have you had any of your brothers, when they were dying, leave you anything? And they said, brother, I want you to have this. Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. And again, with my brother that died, and when he was talking to me, and I think so much about the last words of Jesus, I wish I had the last words of my brother. I wish I had recorded them or written them down. Like they say, memory fades, ink does not. We know what Jesus was saying. We know what Jesus left. And he left something that is so important for each of us. Back in verse 27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If your brother was going to die and say, hey, brother, why don't you leave me, you know, why don't you leave me your motorcycle? Why, you got some nice tools. Why don't you leave me your set of tools? What would we want? Jesus gave us something so precious. He gave us peace. What's the world willing to pay for that? The world will spend all kinds of money, all kinds of time, all kinds of energy trying to find peace. And Jesus, again, he said, I give it to you. I leave it with you, my peace, not the peace of the world. And let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. In this discourse from John 13 through 17, you know, they must have, again, been afraid when Jesus said that he was leaving. But again, as we talked about this morning, he had to leave. He had to go through the cross, through the grave, to get to heaven and send the Holy Spirit back down to the apostles as part of his plan, and that so we could have peace. And it isn't some kind of generic peace. It's his peace, my peace, the peace of Christ. I give you. It wasn't some kind of temporary peace. It wasn't, again, like the world, some kind of wishy-washy peace. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Christ gives us something so important, his peace. And when you look at this verse, it just naturally falls into four different phrases. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. If you feel anxious, if you worry, this is a good verse to have planted, implanted in our minds, planted in the furrows of our mind, that when Satan comes after us with worry, we can battle back with him with this verse. And again, when I think about when he left it, it's like, if our mother or father left us something, or our brother left us something, what did our brother Jesus leave us? He said he left us this peace. Let's turn back to Isaiah, and we'll look at a couple, a few more verses here. In Isaiah 26 and 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Isaiah 26 was written by Isaiah for the land of Judah as a song of praise for the blessings of the Messiah's kingdom. And among those blessings is this perfect peace. In verses 3 and 4, go together beautifully and provide one of the most meaningful passages in the Old Testament about this peace. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength. So notice the parts of this verse. There is perfect peace. The original Hebrew says that the word for this is shalom. The word shalom means more than just a cessation of conflict. It's like if there's a war going on and they stop firing, we say that's peace. That's just stopping fighting. That doesn't mean that peace exists. Peace conveys the idea of quietness, of spirit, of safety, of blessings, happiness of heart, a perfect peace. You will keep him in perfect peace. Notice whose mind is stayed on you. What does this mean, stayed minds? We fix our thoughts on Jehovah. And again, when we focus on Jehovah, everything else falls into place. But what do we do so many times? We have that divided mind and we're thinking about 101 things out here. and Jehovah gets left out of the picture. We have to stay our minds on him. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on what is above, not what is on the earth. And notice in Isaiah 26:3-4, there's this abiding trust. In putting our faith in him and this peace, because he trusts in you, this trust builds more and more that we have in God. You have two things in our life, and they're in the Bible. We have faith, and we have fear. The more of our faith we put in God, the less fear that we will have. The less faith we put in God, the more fear we will have. We need to stay our minds. We need to have this abiding trust. And again, faith is the antidote for fear. And when we do this, we have this everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord, in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. For in Jehovah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Why do we feel tired and worn down, and our body's in conflict with itself, our mind's in conflict with itself sometimes? Because we don't put our trust in Jehovah. When we put our trust in Jehovah, he is our strength. And that ties in with what we've been talking about in the Psalms. When we sin and our body manifests that through different ailments. And again, back to the songs. Take some time this week and look through the song books at all the hymns for peace and assurance. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. With everything going on in the world, we can be at peace. We can have peace. Jesus, our brother, he left that for us when he left. So many things that to help us deal with Satan. The last verse in Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. I'm sorry, the next to the last. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. When you get to Isaiah, it's a messianic book about Christ. When you look at each of these chapters in Isaiah, the cross is in every chapter pointing toward Christ. Isaiah 53 is the portion of Scripture giving us an advanced look at the life and death of Christ. And it has such details in his life and his death. And Isaiah 53 doesn't just give us the details of Christ's history, but it explains the purpose of it and the reason why he was pierced and crushed and punished and wounded and went through the gruesome death that he did. And why was that? It was because of our sins, because of our transgressions. The cross wasn't just a random act of historical violence when Christ died there. There is a plan, there is a purpose, and it was for each one of us. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him. And by his stripes I am healed. I was like a sheep that has gone astray. I've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Christ came and died for us. And friends, that should give us great peace. It should give us security. This chapter is overflowing with the riches of Christ. Sometimes people call Isaiah the fifth gospel. You know, we think of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the four gospels. Sometimes people refer to Isaiah as the fifth gospel because it talks so much about Christ, why he came, what he did, what his purpose was. And friends, he came for you and me. This should be verses that will help us so that we are not troubled as we go through life. Let not your heart be troubled. There's a lot of people with troubled hearts today. What's the answer? God has the answer. And we, again, a lot of times we look at sin. We look at problems as a physical problem. Our life is a physical problem or a sin problem. Or somebody puts something else in the middle. Pick your choice, and the world has all kinds of solutions. The solution to our problems is to put God first, to stop following Satan. And when we put God first, we can have this peace and security and assurance. We don't have to wonder if we're saved or lost. We don't have to wonder if we're going to heaven or hell if we are following his word. And that's a great assurance, and that's great peace where we can lay our head on our pillow at night and sleep. But the opposite is also true. And when I was growing up, I'd hear preachers, many of them say, you know, if you aren't saved, I hope you don't sleep tonight. I hope it troubles you. I hope it bothers you. Because you shouldn't sleep until you make your life right with God. And then we can have that eternal peace. Friends, if there's anybody here this evening that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.